Welcome and breathe in air. Abstract Illusions Radio, the show that explores and exposes the many aspects of expression, with your host, Jennifer Hellman. Good evening, everyone. This is Jennifer Hellman, and this is Erin. Tonight we have a return guest, visit with Tom Jacobs, who is an astrologer. He is a coach. He is an awesome guy. He recently was talking to me about his new project, which is all about healing with Chiron, who is a very powerful wounded healer. So, Tom, how are you doing?
I'm great. Great. Thank you, Jen.
You have been really quite busy with writing, what is it, like 3 or 4 books now, and now you have a series of podcasts that you're doing, and
yeah. You're
just like, you're smoking.
I know. Yeah, there are 4 books. They're all available at Amazon and also through my website. Yeah, I'm doing 2 podcasts right now. One of them I've been doing for over 2 years. It's called Unraveling Karma, and that teaches how I do karmic astrology as taught by the ascended masters I work with. The other podcast is brand new, and it's called Living Consciously. These are both on iTunes, and they're also each available through my Facebook page, so you can look me up, Evolutionary Astrology and Mediumship with Tom Jacobs. But yeah, this other Living Consciously podcast, they're very brief episodes, anywhere from 12 to 15 minutes, and they're all about adapting to energy, living more consciously as energetic beings, which is all about 2012 and how I've been taught to prepare people to adapt to these shifts that are happening now that culminate at the end of the Mayan calendar. And and I started to do some more channeling the last few weeks, which is exciting. So me and the microphone are really good friends right now between all this audio and podcasts and... Yeah, and then this Chiron course that we're going to talk about today, which is a kind of a big deal for everything I've done so far. It seems like a really important project that kind of builds on everything I've been doing. And you've heard the first couple hours, so what would you want to talk about with that first?
Well, it definitely is a very deep subject that I felt was amazingly, really points out a lot of the big issues that just about everybody on the planet is dealing with.
Yeah.
And it really is showing you the different ways that people are really handling this energy and this quote-unquote wounds and how it can really affect. So It was really powerful piece. The 2 hours that I've heard have been really powerful.
Yeah, so just for the listeners, the total is going to be about 9.5 hours. The first 2 hours that Jen's talking about are the first 2 sections, which include some channeling in the first part about 2012 and where we are now as learning about ourselves as energetic beings and learning to see more through our spiritual eyes and learn how to detach more from the being reactive to energy around us. Because what we haven't really understood yet is, like in the course of our development as humans, is in what ways we are energetic beings. We are spirit having human experiences. It's a phrase we use all the time. But to really connect with that on a day-to-day visceral level, and Chiron can teach us how to get embodied, stay there, deal with all of our emotions and all of this sensitivity to energy that we do possess. You know, like people who are energetic sponges. Chiron might be the indicator in their charts, right? People who have a lot of difficulty saying no to people because they feel what the other person needs, and they're not sure how to say no, because would that be cruel? That's another Chiron day-to-day kind of experience. Or also shutting the heart down so we don't have to feel other people's suffering.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very human story. It's just that we haven't really understood it to this point in our evolution that we are energetic beings. But that is one of the major, if not the primary invitation that the Mayan calendar in its end presents to us. So this is a really big deal.
it really is. I mean, seeing how we're really getting into an era where we're really supposed to kind of respect and be very much in touch with our emotions, what we're feeling.
Exactly.
And nobody wants to feel those wounds. You really got to, you know, kind of challenge yourself to go ahead and feel those wounds. And to heal it, not necessarily just to suffer, because Kryon is very much associated with suffering.
Yeah, yeah.
So why don't you give a little brief history of what he's all about real quick?
Yeah. Well, I should finish my thought from a minute ago.
Sure.
What Jen is talking about, she said the first 2 hours, that first portion is this kind of where we are, 2012, you know, and understanding ourselves as energetic beings, et cetera. The second section is myth and archetype, and I tease that out in all of my work so that we can really understand the mythic process that we live. And that really looks at this story that we've received about Kryon. And just as a note, people can purchase the entire course, all 9.5 hours, but they can also just purchase the first 2 hours of this basic approach to 2012 energetic sensitivity and the mythology section, retelling the myth. Because I recognize that everybody doesn't want to become adept at using Kryon in charts. So there will be those two options. Because then the rest of the 7.5 hours is all astrology of Kryon. Houses, signs, aspects, etc. So the Kryon myth, I mean, Kryon has been a part of the astrological vocabulary since 1977, which, honestly, that's really not a long time for an archetype to kind of, you know, get its foot in our consciousness and really seed itself. So as I part of the channeling on this, well, let me just say where the course came from, where this whole idea came from. Okay. 2.5 years ago, I sat down with the intention of hanging out with my guides and finding out what was going to happen in 2012. And so everything that I've done regarding 2012, which has actually been a lot in the last 2.5 years, it all started with this one intention. Every single answer was that a tip or a trick or an insight into how Kryon really works. And I said, oh, great, thanks. And I wrote it all down. And then a week later, I'd sit down again and I'd say, hello, I would like to learn today about 2012. And the answers were all about Kryon, deepening what I was told the week before. So after about 6 of those sessions, I started to realize that, A, nobody knows what's going to happen in 2012, but I was being presented with this process of healing wounding, which we so far, regarding Kryon, have not really felt as possible, but also moving beyond any kind of woundedness to really understand the true nature of pain and suffering as energy and ourselves as energetic beings. So I had that picture and I started using it on myself. I have a prominent Kryon, and I started using it on clients, and they responded incredibly, and it kind of developed and articulated, you know, in terms of people's daily living, what the masters had shown me. And so that's kind of where the course came from. And I've been thinking since then about writing a book about it. And it just, you know, apparently it's more appropriate as an audio course because the book did not happen. but yeah, this myth of Kryon, if I can tell that story.
Mm-hmm.
The basic idea is that Kryon's perceived as a wounded healer. That he's a teacher, and he trains the young Greek heroes before they go on their quests. And there's a list of these heroes that he trains. He trains a bunch of other people too for various reasons, for various things. And he's adept at martial arts. Chiropractic is named after him. You know, Kryon, healing arts of all different kinds, herbal healing, alternative healing of all kinds, but also the martial arts, also music, and all these different bodies of knowledge. He's a masterful teacher. During the story goes, as we receive it, so far in the astrology kind of, you know, astrology vocab, is that he is inadvertently wounded by a poisoned arrow. But because he's immortal, he can't die. So he tries to figure out how to heal himself, and he can't because he's poisoned. And eventually he works out a way to die by trading places with somebody else. And he gives up, he forfeits his immortality by doing this, and he's allowed to die. And I just really have had a problem with this myth since long before I asked about asked about 2012, because I was like, what are we teaching if there are certain forms of suffering that are only alleviated by death? I was like, what are we really teaching? That it's better to die than to experience all we can experience? So that was like, that was under my skin for a long time. Excuse me. And so as I retell this story, I really go into the true nature of his wounding, because the real wounding for Chiron is that he's rejected by his mother at birth. When we look at that, and we look at how people live that in the day-to-day lives, there's some kind of rejection by one of the parents shortly after birth. It's probably inadvertent. And the person, the baby, is so energetically sensitive to whatever this thing is that it gets imprinted with, I'm not going to be loved if I express this part of myself. So, excuse me, I focus in retelling the story in what did Chiron do when he had this rejection? He didn't whine a lot, and he didn't, because that's a lot of what we end up doing with Chiron. We suffer and we don't know what to do with it. We don't know how to come out of it. And this story goes that you can help other people with the suffering that you have, but you can't help yourself. That's the idea of the wounded healer that comes with Chiron. And I've always really had a problem with that part of the story too. So I'm really retelling a lot of this story in different ways. So when you look at it in terms of being rejected at birth or after birth, when you're an infant, and you get imprinted with this fear of rejection, that's what people carry forward into their adult lives. So the archetypal process differs a lot from the mythological story that we've received. And this archetypal process involves creating rejection scenarios because we're expecting it. And that's kind of crazy.
Well, isn't it like self-fulfilling prophecy in a way?
Precisely. That's exactly what it is. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, it's very interesting because I remember exactly the point that I had my rejection.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. It was my mom. It was when I was in first grade. She was my substitute teacher. She looked me in the eye and says, I am not your mother. I am your teacher. Exactly. And from that moment on, she was my teacher.
Exactly. And what house and sign are you in? You're an Aquarius, right?
No, my son is a Sagittarius.
No, your Chiron.
My Chiron is Pisces in the 12th.
Pisces in the 12th. So there's an issue of connection and being able to trust being connected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I, you know, definitely had trust issues for a very, very long time. I remember exactly when it happened, and my mom remembers it too because I asked her about it.
Uh-huh.
So it's very interesting that it just like right was there. And so it really does, it's worth finding out because I was able to really talk to my mom about what was going on and why she did it and the effects it had on me, and it opened up a new dialogue between us, and it really healed the situation tremendously. So,
yeah, I mean, so in that case, you are wired to be, you know, in your personality, to be super sensitive to issues about connectedness. You know, like that's just like one of your baselines. And so when, you know, when that happens, it was probably her just setting a boundary for the day. And she certainly didn't mean it to be traumatic. You know what I mean? She was just kind of setting a boundary.
Right.
But it did really hurt you. And that's important. You know, we have to honor that. But what will happen later for you is that you'll make a mountain out of a molehill for other things like that.
Oh, I did for many, many years. I don't anymore, but I will admit I did.
Yeah, and that's the Chiron. That's what we might call the Chiron effect, with a mountain out of a molehill, because the sensitivity is off the charts.
Yeah.
And so what happens is, like, you do a lot of spiritual work, and you have for a long time, so you've been able to, you know, that's like one of the tools for you to kind of connect, and by connecting to spirit, for example, or connecting to, you know, your guides and others, you heal that, right? Because you make a positive effort. But for most people who are kind of not living like that and experiencing, you know, opportunities to reconnect in some way, this thing that's Chiron is this emotional, like, nugget deep down inside that you can't talk about because it's a childhood wounding. It's like all emotional. It's not logical. So I have clients who come to me and say things like, I've been working on this for 10 years in therapy, you know, and then we'd spend an hour, hour and a half talking about it. And they're like, oh, I finally get that. Now I can go use everything I know to help heal that. So it really opens the door to accessing this emotional part of us that we can't talk through. We can't, you know, we can't just talk about it and heal it, because it's all about energy and emotion, and emotion is energy.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So basically, with the process that you do,
yeah.
You mentioned it on the portions that I listened to, that basically you go back to the very moment it happened and adjust the way of thinking about it.
Yeah.
Or a way to almost react to that moment. So it's more of a positive to bring them forward, so it is, they're able to move forward in their life without making the mountains out of a molehill.
Exactly, exactly. And that really supports people in, A, having their feelings acknowledged, which is really, really important.
Yeah, huge.
Because we're talking about their feelings not being acknowledged. That's the Chiron wounding. That's the core for every single human. I'm really sensitive about this thing, and you dissed me. You know, it's like, you know, and it also helps them, and then healing that inner infant or child, it helps them take, you know, the person who can call me for a session and be mature, you know, and grown up and run that life, it helps that person nurture the kid in a way that the kid wasn't nurtured.
Right.
And, yeah, and that helps them move forward. I mean, yeah, that helps them move forward in really, really, really exciting ways. Because then you're not expecting rejection. You're just understanding that you're sensitive and that everybody is sensitive in their own way. Because one of the things, when you really follow through with Chiron, you find uniqueness. But because we're sensitive to the reactions of other people, we think that's meaningful. So maybe my uniqueness is wearing orange pants. but I live in this really Saturnian culture in a big city, you know, or maybe I live in a small town, whatever. Maybe in a big city it's more, you know.
That'd be hip.
But I'm wearing these like bright orange cotton pants, and I see people look at me funny. Well, they're just surprised because maybe they didn't expect to see somebody wearing orange pants. But if I'm more sensitive to their reactions, oh my gosh, those people are looking at me funny. I'll make it meaningful. And so, but if when I cross that line and I'm no longer fearing rejection for being unique, I can wear whatever pants I want. You know, it's like,
right.
And then it's like people react to me and I'm like, oh yeah, they didn't expect to see that today. Huh. And then I move on.
Right. Well, I wanted to ask you a couple of things. First, I wanted to say one thing that my guides had once I realized where the healing, where the wound happened, is they went back and said, okay, now let's fulfill those childhood dreams that because of that wounding, you didn't do.
Right.
And that's my way of nurturing that child within. So I went and took dance lessons because I always wanted to. So And it really it healed a lot of things by doing that. The other thing, when I was listening to you describe this and the death and suffering,
yeah,
I was wondering, how is this associated or how is this similar to shamanic deaths, which is a process of letting a portion of you die to heal and come back from that. Is the process kind of similar to that? Or do you really know to say?
Well, I would say, yeah, I mean, I would say that there's this part of you that gets addressed, this chironic part of you, that it's not the same thing as like a shamanic death like that, because this part kind of feels locked into suffering and feels like it's dying anyway. So the death is to the suffering. The end is to the identity as somebody who needs to suffer or who should suffer or who deserves pain and rejection. So it's like losing that identity by shifting perspective. So it's different, but there is like this cathartic transformative experience that does parallel what you're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because it just felt very similar.
Yeah.
And
well, yeah, I mean,
it's like, because there is a healing in both processes.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting. So with Cryon, and as you're going through this process, it sounds like it's pretty quick with you, or with this process you're doing, or have you found that has there been anybody who has started the process but a part of them rejects it, that somebody is just like lingering and kind of holding on to that woundedness because they're gaining something out of it?
Yeah, because there is a real sense of identity surrounding our pain. Most of the people I've done this work with, they call me once for an hour or an hour and a half session, or they call me, you know, twice a year or three times a year or something for a couple of years. So most of the people, it's not consistent ongoing work. I prefer to do this process in coaching with people where I talk on the phone with them 45 minutes every week for at least 2 months, because that gives us, you know, a chance to really get into this and to help them ground and stabilize into the part that is capable of healing this, because I'm not healing it. I'm just kind of holding the space, right? I'm holding, and that's another thing Chiron teaches us, is that you're the healer. I'm just holding space for you and giving you ideas and structure and a course to do it, you know, a game plan. But every single one of us has a part of us that will want to cling to that identity of wounded, and even wounded healer, where they don't say, oh, I'm in pain, but wow, I get a lot of identity out of helping other people who are hurt. Either one is still wound-focused and needs to be grown out of. And, yeah, people really do connect with that. Most of the people who call me, who've read bits about this, about my work with 2012, et cetera, they're really ready to put a finger on this, to resolve the family issues, to resolve the relationship issues. You know, they're really ready to do it. And so I probably have a disproportionate sample of people who are really, really intrepid, people who have been trying to, you know, solve these patterns or unravel these for years or decades, and they take the information. Because I also give practical tools. I also give homework, home play assignments to people, even if they only talk to me once. I have been known to give people homework and say, you know, do this, you know, every 3 days for 2 months, and really do this meditation or whatever it is to work on this. But, yeah, lots of people, it is very hard to come out of it, but the more motivated you are, you know, and if you really feel that you're on a spiritual path, and, you know, most of the people I talk to who identify as spiritual feel they don't have a choice anymore, you know, that they've been, like, messing around with their insecurities forever, and it's really time to get healthy and empowered. So I probably work with a disproportionate sample, but yeah, go ahead.
Oh no, I was just saying it really has come to the critical point where people on the path, and even people who don't even realize they're on their path, they're coming to realize there's something I gotta heal, and there's something I gotta deal with, and
yeah.
I got to do it now. And it's very interesting to see people who, you know, I'm not normally like this, but there's something up and can you help me figure it out? Yeah. And a lot of people who, at least for me, my clients are calling about mom and dad issues. My mom always makes me feel guilty. She's always doing this. My dad's doing this. What's the deal?
Right.
And it just, it opens the window to say, well, did you ever think that? And ask them, okay, so when did this all start? And it's interesting because the thing that we haven't really touched upon is even though, I mean, it's they're making mountains out of molehills, they're also projecting and passing on the wounds, in a sense, to their own kids or to other people around them. And it's... And it's just something that it needs to really be addressed, because once you're whole and complete, what a world of difference it makes. Wouldn't you say, Tom?
Yeah. And this, you know, I was talking about this Mayan calendar process is frankly, this is it. It's coming out of receiving projections. It's coming out of being willing to take on other people's experience as your own. You know, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. It's time. And I think that's why the Chiron thing, this material is coming into form now. This has all been in my head, and I do it with clients and students all the time. But, and I mentioned it in interviews and writing about it in books, you know, little bits here and there. But this whole body of knowledge getting articulated, you know, into one course, it's happening now. It's not happening 3 months ago or 2 years from now.
Mm-mm.
Because people need to have this info. They already know they need it. They just don't, they haven't heard it yet, so they're not entirely sure what exactly, you know, they're looking for. When I tell people the Chiron story with a prominent Chiron in their charts, there's a sense of relief because it does hold the answers to what they've been looking for. We can talk about psychological issues till we're blue in the face, but to really get to the core of the emotional knot and heal it, which Chiron allows us to do really effectively. And I'll encourage your listeners, if this speaks to them, to call me and talk about doing some coaching sessions to get to the bottom of this and unravel this. Because, and also to get the course if you want to learn how to use it yourself, you know, as an astrologer or practitioner. So, because it's time. It's time for us to do this, to really mature as spiritual beings.
Yes, and a couple of things. And with that, stop the blame game.
Yeah, exactly.
And, also, and take responsibility for what is in your life and how you're handling the energy. Now, Tom, what is your website, or how can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, my website is TD, that's like Thomas David, tdjacobs.com. And information on the Chiron course is there, and also in sessions and coaching on the store page. And the Chiron course pre-orders are open now, so you can read all about the course on the store page and investigate that there. But tdjacobs.com.
Now, with you saying the energy is right now, what is going on with the planets right now that's making it kind of focused in
this
kind of stuff?
It's really not about the planets. It's really about the energetic backdrop in the cosmos that has to do with the Mayan calendar. This is one of the things, like the astrology of 2012, with astrologers looking at the planetary alignments, et cetera, of 2012 and the solstice and all this stuff. It's really not going to tell them anything meaningful, because that's about the physical, you know, relationship between the planets that bounce energy back to the Earth. We're talking about, you know, we're talking about this radical upgrade, series of upgrades in consciousness, which astrology cannot tell us about. So it's not, I don't think it's really about the, I mean, right now we're having, you know, Mercury retrograde through Virgo, it's slowing down. We have Saturn in Libra, you know, we have Pluto stationing in Capricorn, trining the Mercury. So there are some things like that where we can look at the energetic opportunities in play, but the real juice of why people are either stressed out or stressed out and then choosing to be liberated from all this suffering, etc., I think it really has to do with the acceleration of their experience of themselves as conscious, energetic beings. I did some channeling the other night on marriage. I channeled Jehudi. And I'm calling him that now. I used to call him Thoth. I'm kind of going back to the Egyptian energy of him. And that name is Jehudi. And, or one way of saying it is Jehudi. And he was talking about how right now we have more access to all the memories of our past lives, which from the soul's perspective are happening right now because the soul exists right outside time. So you're having all this unprecedented access to stuff. So let's say that, you know, in 1320s Denmark, you know, you have this impossible relationship with the spouse. It never gets resolved. One of you passes away, then the other passes away. Well, now you have memories of that. And now because of this acceleration, if you have said, I would like to evolve with the earth and the cosmos, I would like to, you know, evolve my consciousness, etc., if you've made that intention, then you have to deal with that relationship. Whether or not that person is around you now, you have to deal with the memories and feelings. So I think that acceleration is really why, and that can't be understood through astrology because it's geocentric. It's about the physical alignment of the planets. I think that's right. Why people are really feeling the pressure cooker amp up. It's natural to look to the planets for that, but I think this is a unique level of this that astrology might not be able to answer for us right now. We're studying the Mayan calendar can yield some interesting insights into how this process of acceleration has worked. And for that, I recommend Barbara Hand Clow's book. Oh my gosh. Well, you can find it on my website, I think. Barbara Hand Clow's book about 2012. I'm totally blanking on the name. but she summarizes the work of several scholars who, I think she found it kind of academic and wanted to really boil it down so people could understand it. And the book is fabulous. But she really breaks it down and talks about how these overlapping cycles have to do with this speeding up. And that's what we're perceiving. You know, we're perceiving this speeding up of our lives, of our drama, of our issues. And, Chiron can teach us about that too.
He's a powerful teacher, that is for sure.
Got lots to say, yeah. And we've been, there are people who have been doing really great work with Chiron over the last, you mm-hmm. know, 33 years, and yet that archetype has been in its infancy in our vocabulary and our awareness. Simply, it has nothing to do with the people who have done the work on Chiron so far. It has to do with the human's capacity to process the reality of the invitation that Chiron heralds. And we simply haven't been able to open up, you know, our minds and consciousness enough to really grasp this whole energy, energetic being, energy antenna, you know, sensitive to energy business. But now we suddenly are, with the last few years, definitely.
Now, my question is, you said Chiron actually gives you an invitation. What kind of ways would you suggest to people to be kind of aware of that the invitation is coming or there?
The invitation on a day-to-day basis usually works in the form of encountering other people's either hypersensitivity or pain and suffering, right? Encounters that. If you're encountering that, A, the invitation is to recognize this in yourself, to start owning your own energetic sensitivity, to be willing to feel all that you can feel, and C, develop healthy energetic boundaries, manage your energy, learn what it is like to function in a healthy way as an energetic being. So those three things. What we've done so far is, I go out in the world, I'm feeling kind of chironic today, whether I know that word or not. I'm feeling sensitive to energy, right? And I walk into the coffee shop, I'm going to get a sandwich, whatever, right? And there's a woman at the counter who is in crisis. Now, I'm feeling very open that day. this is a natural human mode, is to feel energetically open to other humans. Mm-hmm. But if her suffering hits me in a way, I don't want to feel that. I don't want to feel that, so I will close my heart. That's how we usually live with Chiron. We either give way too much because we can't say no to other people's pain and suffering, or we shut down because we're afraid of, you know, losing our marbles because of the intense energy. So Chiron invites us on a day-to-day basis. I mean, the invitation is constantly there if you're choosing awareness of it, to learn to be an energetic being and to respond with yes or no, right? I'm willing to do this for you or I'm not. Mm-hmm. And to do each way of responding compassionately. That's the end game with Chiron, is compassion, because I want you to walk around this world with your heart open, with your fourth chakra open. But I don't want you overwhelmed. I want you to learn how to manage that. You change the world when you bring your heart into the world. This is one of the gifts that, for example, Martin Luther King brought.
Mm-hmm.
It was very present in his voice, in his speech, in his mind. But he brought his heart unabashedly open. And responding to the world with compassion is the way to alleviate suffering. I'm not trying to be a Hallmark card here or whatever, you know, like, or a tapestry hanging on the fridge. You know, that's not what I'm trying to do. But this is really where we're headed. This is really the truth of who we are. We're energetic beings with emotional faculties, with hearts. You know, we are. And this, you know, not that, but here's another kind of preconception that we have about living that way. Either, I would, you know, crack open and start crying, and because I know what's in my heart and it's just way too intense. I don't want to feel that, and nobody else wants to feel that. Or, I'd get lost in emotion, or I'd never get anything done if I'm just giving in to the roller coaster of my emotions. And these are the prejudices that are based in the fears of really experiencing all the emotions and the types of emotions that we can feel. But what ends up happening is, when you have a negative judgment about some emotion, for example, I'm in the coffee shop, this woman in front of me, she's in crisis. Maybe she lost her 4-year-old boy. Maybe her car just broke down and she's late for an interview or a court appointment. You know, like, but she's in crisis. And if I judge the intensity of her feeling and I shut down, then that creates a knot, right, a jumble within my energy field. If I just am witnessing her and I allow her energy to not pierce me or permeate me, but I allow myself to experience her energy, then when the I'm not even talking to her, but if I do talk to her, when the interaction is over or when she's gone, the energy goes with her, and mm-hmm. I don't have to keep it. So we're afraid that if we open to emotion, you know, it'll be way too much to experience, and we'll get overwhelmed, and we'll never get anything done. You know, it's kind of all these Saturnian headspace kind of prejudices against the, you know, living a heart-open life. You know, I live this way. I'm not fluffy. I'm not lost in emotion. You know, I'm not drowning in the roller coaster of my emotions. You know, I'm not, like, out of control.
Right.
I actually experience, usually at least once a week, walking into somewhere and heads turning, and they don't have any idea why. And it's because I walk in and I'm very grounded, and my heart is open. And that's actually not that prevalent on the planet right now.
No, and it's very refreshing. It is very refreshing to say, wow. And that's one thing I get definitely with you, is you're very grounded.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm very real and present. And I am seeing so many people that you look in their eyes and it's empty because they're out somewhere else. They are not in their body.
Yeah. Yeah, so the trick is to be in your body, to be willing to feel all you can feel, to not judge any of it, to have good boundaries and say, oh, yeah, no thanks, that's not the experience that I'm going to have, you know, to become empowered enough to really believe that you get to you know, operate as a healthy, energetic being, because it does involve saying no thanks to a lot of things and a lot of people and a lot of opportunities that your mind might say, hey, that's great. But when you're really in your heart and your heart's saying yes or no, you honor it. And yes, so you're, nothing's out of control and you don't have to check out. So this Chiron teaching, I mean, I'm incredibly excited about this and have been, you know, since I got this full picture when they showed me, if you want to have anything to do with 2012, help people heal their Chiron issues. Since that picture came into focus, I've been jazzed up about this incredibly, because it offers us a way to come back into our bodies, to heal, and to be more fully human than many of us have had models of so far in our evolution.
Very powerful indeed.
It is.
So did you want to go over briefly the signs in the houses and how they can possibly influence a person, or can you describe that the different ways that Chiron can manifest in the different signs?
Yeah, let me maybe pick a few kind of spot picking.
Do a sampling at least.
Yeah, definitely. I will say that the Chiron's elliptical orbit, and you know, it's more oval than it is round, and so it spends portions of its orbit in particular, more time in particular signs of the zodiac, and less time in others. So in Virgo and Libra, it spends not that much time, maybe a year and a half out of its 50-year orbit in each. But then in Aries and Pisces, it spends more, like more than 7 years in each one. So, you know, you have this skewed population. So most of us, you know, running around who are middle-aged or approaching it have it in Aries or Pisces. So like I have it in Aries, you have it in Pisces. So I think doing it in those two signs might be really instructive for people, because that's going to cover a lot of the audience, actually.
Right.
And this covers the births from, 1960 or 61 to, I want to say, 78 or 79. So that covers, you know, like a good chunk of years. So you know, the default wound is of this rejection. Now, signs are ways of being. They're like energetic lenses that we live through. So if you have Chiron and Pisces, the sense of rejection seems to get triggered, or will get triggered, when you surrender and you release control and flow with the moment. So we can know that the original wounding had to do with surrender and trust and faith, and then the wound gets triggered by that. With all these signs and houses, there's a process to go through that I teach about in the course, and also lead people through in counseling and coaching, that helps you become empowered and take that back. But the default wounding is to that sense of surrender, to just surrendering control, just going with the flow and knowing that the divine plan is perfect and the way that it unfolds is perfect. So that's a really, for people who have that, which is like 1960 or 61 to like 69, I think, there is a kind of crash course going on in faith, in surrender.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so in the method.
Oh, yeah, I know that one.
You know that one, yeah. Well, exactly. So you're somebody who's come out on the other side of it, but you remember what it was like. If somebody would have said to you, look, Jen, the divine plan is perfect in its divine unfoldment. Have faith. Part of you would say, are you kidding me? Shut
up. I did many times, and then they pushed me to the point of surrender. And, I call uncle, okay, I hear it, I trust.
Well, so what you ended up doing was changing your mind about what was happening.
Yeah.
It wasn't trying to make you suffer. It wasn't that.
Well, actually, in a way, I did suffer, but I released myself to the suffering and understood there's a reason for it and a blessing through the process of right. what I'm going through.
But it wasn't it wasn't that the universe hated you or was trying to hurt you.
No.
You did suffer, but it wasn't like a malevolent intent. And that's the suffering idea of the Chiron.
And I also, they were very good at showing me how I set myself up for the suffering.
Exactly, right. Right. So that would be the Pisces thing. In Aries, the next sign, you know, signs that are next to each other are drastically different in nature.
Mm-hmm.
And so as Pisces, the goal is to surrender and go with the flow and everything's perfect. In Aries, it's about starting things, initiation and beginnings, and trusting instinct and being in action, getting to get things done. But it's also, it's really about not editing your impulses. So when that Chiron wound is there, the default wounding would be about my sense of expressing my will is hampered, is damaged. Now, my energetic sensitivity is to the reactions of other people to Aries energy. So when I'm bold, I'm very sensitive to how other people receive my behavior. But if the suffering, the pain, the wounding, is in if I let that mean that, oh, if I do this, they will reject me.
Right.
So that whole, like, sub-generation of people are dealing with, you know, like, births from, I don't know, 69 to 77, something like that, 78. All those people are dealing with a wound to the will, the expression of will. So to be bold, to trust your instinct, to not think or not edit everything in order to try to avoid rejection. That's the task. And the mountain of the molehill is, if I am Marsy, if I'm Aries energy, then they're going to reject me. And, so that's kind of a nutshell on those two signs.
So it is a process that has been unfolding actually for some time. I mean, I've been dealing with my woundedness, shall I say, for probably the last 10 years.
Wow.
And,
good for you.
Hey, I really didn't have a choice. It was right in my face and it unfolded very naturally and step by step, and it literally started at the very beginning at my birth and move forward. And it's like step by step, I saw the process of how I got to where I was.
Yeah.
And 2009 was a huge year of just releasing and going with the flow and trusting the divine. That was a huge year of releasing, shall I say.
Yeah.
So, but it's always fascinating to look at the different aspects of self. I find it fascinating, the process. A lot of people don't like doing it.
Sure.
And maybe that's my way that I have surrendered and saying, okay, there's a process. Let's see it. Let's go for this.
Yeah.
That may be the Sag in me always wanting to learn more.
Right.
So with this process and with the process you're doing for yourself, do you feel you've reached the other side to feel that it's okay to be bold?
Well, there this part that expects the rejection in any of us never really leaves.
Right.
We just stop identifying with it because we're actually meeting the need that it has. So
mm-hmm.
for me, it's right on the descendant, in Aries on the descendant. So when I walk into that coffee shop, and I see somebody who's reading a book that I love, and I want to go over and talk to that person and just introduce myself and have a 3-minute conversation about this book, whatever, like, who knows. Part of me will campaign not to do that because we'll be rejected. Like, the person will not want to talk to you for whatever because you're wearing orange pants or whatever it is.
Right.
You know, it's like, and I actually do wear, I have 2 pairs of orange pants I wear all over. You know, but like that, you know, the part of me is still there, but the wounding is still imprinted in one way, but it is not dominant, and I'm not afraid of the wound. Part of me is a little afraid of rejection, but when somebody says, I don't want to talk to you, it doesn't mean anything, like it doesn't mean anything important about me. Right. It means that person doesn't want to talk to me. And if the person said something like, oh, and this is why I don't want to talk to you, I don't like you for this reason, that also doesn't mean the thing about me. It's just the person telling me something. So for me, yeah, I'm much more bold now, even just over the last couple of months, as you've known me for almost a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can hear it in my voice. I'm just more willing to say what I need to say and be bold and speak the truth as I understand it. And if you reject me for that, then now I can have compassion for whatever you're experiencing that leads you to that reaction. And it's not meaningful about me. So I think in many ways I've succeeded in doing this process with myself. And I think, you know, let's be honest, even though I had all this in my head, this didn't get, you know, this 9-hour audio course didn't get recorded 2 years ago.
Right.
You know, it's recorded now because I've processed enough that I can actually fully articulate the entire story.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm not like I've won, you know, or I've crossed the finish line, but I've definitely been living this story, you know, living this process of healing. And actually one thing, you know, for a couple of years, one thing I want to talk about relative to the course that should actually really inspire people once they hear it, I hope it does. I invite everyone to be inspired by this. Let's just start it that way. That this approach to Chiron changes our conception of wounding and healing. One of the main goals of the course is to teach people how to no longer identify as wounded or wounded healer, but to be sensitive to energy, as we talked about, walking around with your heart open as a part of you, online, fully open, and learning energy management, etc. So you're not, you know, overwhelmed by other people's stuff, you know, the stuff in the world. But to stop identifying with woundedness by living a compassionate life towards yourself and others. And that's really the end goal with this Chiron process. You know, like I said, I'm not really fluffy or flowery, but that's really the end goal, is that compassion is the balm for everything. And so this is the key to come out of it. The course is called, by the way, Chiron, the Key and How to Use It.
And again, real quick, because we got about a minute left, believe it or not, on the show, what is your website, and is there the best way through Facebook? And also mention Facebook again, how people can find you on Facebook as well.
Great. So the Facebook page is Evolutionary Astrology and Mediumship with Tom Jacobs. And yeah, that's a great way to keep up with what I'm doing on a, you know, week-to-week basis, day-to-day basis. I also have a mailing list, an email list, that I send out monthly or semi-monthly reminders about announcements that you can sign up through my site. The site is TD, like Tom David, tdjacobs.com. Yeah, and you can get all the books and also do two natal reports, including the 2012 natal report that does include Chiron as one of four archetypes about emotional healing, which is pretty exciting. And that's also channeled material from the same masters that I've worked with. And yeah, the four books
are
there too.
And you've been doing lots and lots of podcasting that are just awesome.
Thank you, Jen. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I'm sorry. So let me just get that in there. The Unraveling Karma podcast is the astrology one, astrology for the soul, basically, as the masters have taught me how to look at the soul's journey through many lives. And that's what one of the books is about, too, The Soul's Journey 1. And then the other podcast is Living Consciously, nothing to do with astrology, just about living more consciously as an energetic being like we've been talking about today.
And that is Tom Jacobs. In a nutshell, really, check out his website. Great information. Check out his blog, his podcast. Phenomenal work. And this is Jennifer Hillman saying, with each breath, we hope you gain new insights and new inspirations. Until next time, many blessings and good night.